Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And away we go. Fantasy Sports Today right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, FNTSY, kicking off your Saturday morning. Dan Strafford, George Kurtz with you for the next 2 hours, getting ready for week one of the NFL. We'll talk some MLB as well. George, how you doing this Saturday morning?
Well, it's nice to almost have the games upon us, Dan, right? We've already had one game and a full Sunday tomorrow, and there is nothing like a football Sunday.
There is nothing like it. You hear often in football, you got to have your head on a swivel, right? As a receiver or as a defensive back. I feel like as a fantasy owner, we talked about it last week, how many teams we own. You got to have your head on a swivel and your thumb on the remote control if you don't have red zone. So you got to be ready to change those channels and stay on top of all the different games going on. We're going to break all them down. We're going to go game by game. We'll take a look at each, talk about fantasy viable players, and make sure you're up to date on everything you need to know as you get ready. Some people still drafting out there, George. You have people who take in the Thursday game into their calculations when figuring it out. Want to look back at that as well, see how you see that game breaking down, and if we learned anything moving forward about fantasy for Atlanta or Philadelphia. And as I said, we'll take a sneak peek at baseball as it does wind down here in the month of September, as you try to get those categories in the best shape you can in your 5x5 leagues. If you're in head-to-heads, hopefully you're in the playoffs and making things work there. September call-ups as well, so dynasty stuff on the horizon. But George, I wanted to start back on Thursday night, and then we'll work through some news and notes heading into Sunday. You obviously had a pretty ugly game, right? I mean, that was not really the way I'm sure the NFL wanted to kick off the season. The Eagles get the W, 18-12. They break out the Philly special to the delight of the home crowd. So Nick Foles has one more reception than Breshad Perriman will have this year. But the thing I look back on is the big debate about Jay Ajayi. Right. So, yeah, Jay Ajayi be sort of a lightning rod a bit when it came to analysis coming into the season about how high his ADP should go. How high should he go drafted when you have Sproles and Clement there? Do you feel like we got clarity, or was that game even worse for Ajayi owners or Ajayi detractors because low volume but two touchdowns?
Yeah, it's the that's the equivalent of a pitcher in baseball getting a win for going five innings, giving up four runs. Yeah, it's the same thing. Well, I got lucky. Lucky to get the win, same thing here. Got lucky to get the two touchdowns. Other than that, it wasn't the greatest game for Ajayi, but he got in the end zone, so all that matters. So you're happy about that. And then, of course, we hear after the game they want to use him more. But, you know, he's got the chronic knee condition, so it's going to be hard to give him, you know, 18, 20 touches a game without him breaking down. Peterson's history tells us that he likes to spread the ball around with the running back. Sproles going to get his. Clement's going to get his. And, you know, does the offense change anyway once Wentz is able to return? You know, when they'll throw the ball more. Because right now the run game might have to carry this team because Nick Foles didn't really look all that much better than he did in preseason.
Yeah, Nick Foles is who we think he is. Like, he got hot during the playoffs, and it was a wonderful run and did great job. But he is a mercurial, he is, you know, enigmatic, whatever you want to call him. He has hot streaks, and we talk about hot streaks in baseball all the time. They happen in football. Players just get in the zone. They have good matchups. They, you know, have play calls that fit their style, and they execute against them. The whole thing for me with Jay Ajayi, and it is funny to watch on Twitter, in articles, the victory laps that happen on both sides by analysts after 1 week. They want to say, I got Ajayi right. He, you know, had two touchdowns. Touchdowns are king, and we're going to see 15 to 20 touchdowns from him this year. On the other side, you have people saying, well, the volume's not there, didn't have yardage, and as you said, lucked into two touchdowns. For me, he went 19th overall in running backs, and I think that's honestly, at this point, fairly valued for a running back by committee situation. And we have to get past thinking that any of these guys in this range are going to be much more than, you know, RBBCs that one week give you a really solid outing and one week leave you wanting a little bit more. It's all of these guys here have the potential to have rushes taken from them, receptions taken from them. And I think this range, JJ gave you a sample of what you'll get all year. And you made the point with Clement and Sproles there. I think this is going to be one to watch. I don't think we're going to really get into New England Patriots territory here where you're not really sure which back it's going to be. But I do think that you're going to hope that either you get a running back off the waiver wire that has a more clear path to playing time because of injury, or that a Clement or a Sproles gets dinged up along the way. And JHI is even more so cemented as somebody who's getting more touches throughout the game. But this is going to be one to keep an eye on. You made the point about Nick Foles. On the other side, George, you know, it's one of those things with Steve Sarkisian that you as a fantasy analyst, right, you want to believe that he knows he has Julio Jones on his team. And you saw in that first drive that, hey, let's feed him the ball until we're in the red zone. And I get that Julio Jones gets triple covered, right? This isn't just a coach forgetting he exists, but he actually brought him off the field. And when you do that, it just seems like you are missing the opportunity to use your best talent. Jones still had a great game, but do you think we're in for another season where red zone targets just aren't there for Jones because of coverage, because of play calling?
Well, actually, Jones had several red zone targets. So
I mean, like over the course of the year, do you think we're going to see what we saw in the first half, or do you see the overabundance in the second half that we hopefully see as the season goes on?
You'll see a mix. They'll use Jones in the red zone. Whether or not Ryan can connect with them, that's a different story. But like I said, the targets were there. Everybody wants to blame Sark. And that's all fine and good. He has his issues. But on the first drive of the game, they didn't get a touchdown because Matt Ryan missed Devonta Freeman in the end zone. A good throw, that's a touchdown. Okay, and there's another, I think it was the second drive, might have been the third, where Mohamed Sanu was wide open in the end zone. Ryan doesn't look at him, doesn't see him. And so it was there. Ryan didn't get the ball to the guys he had to get to. Right? So it's ugly because they went 0 for 3 or 0 for 4 inside the 15-yard line, didn't score a touchdown. I don't think they got a point out of those drives. So that's concerning to say the least. But like I said, it's not all on Sark. Listen, he has his problems. Yeah, his play calling inside the red zone doesn't look like it's improved since last year. But like I said, the opportunities were there. Matt Ryan missed it. Matt Ryan had a bad game. And I think more concerning than anything else is Matt Ryan's arm strength looked off. I don't think that hurt the red zone opportunities. There were other opportunities where the ball just wasn't being zipped in there, and it was noticeable. It was like, wow. You know, where he didn't look like a strong-armed quarterback, he looked like a weak-armed quarterback. And it makes you wonder, I mean, he's going through a dead arm. You know, we hear that in baseball all the time. It can happen in football as well. You're throwing the ball a whole bunch. Maybe he's going through a dead arm period. But his arm strength looked off. It looked weak. It just looked weaker than it really should.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and one good work on making sure to put that out there, that it was missed opportunities, and context is king. We can all box score surf and look through and say, well, 21 for 42, that's obviously a problem, but they didn't target Jones enough, or they didn't get the right plays in because Sarkisian's a bad offensive coordinator. Well, that might be part of it, but to George's point, it's Ryan not executing. If he connects on 2 of 4 of those passes in the red zone that should have been there, that's a completely different game, and even his stat line is completely different. 2 TDs to 1 INT rather than no TDs to 1 INT is a huge difference to start the year, and that's going to be something that as you get ready to do your waiver wire, we're already talking about that heading into week 2, you need to have context for all these games, and that is why something like FNTSY should be part of your life, where we can break it down for you throughout the day. Make sure you are up to date on everything that is happening throughout fantasy football. We do also have word that Devonta Freeman has a knee injury, MCL, PCL sprains last year, claimed he was okay after the game. I haven't seen any further prognosis over the past couple of days, but this is one of those things, George, that injury prone is the wrong word, but MCL and PCL sprains, when damage is done and there's not a full tear of them, everything I've read is that it just becomes an issue. It becomes loosened. So the potential for injury is there at a higher rate, and the structure of the knee isn't as sound. So cutting and things like that are more difficult. Do you now feel, or did you feel coming into the season, that we needed to worry about Freeman's knees? And do you see this as an ongoing issue, or do you feel as though it is what it is at this point, until he tears something and he's out, we have to consider him one of the top running backs in the game?
Well, Devonta Freeman fell out of the top 12. He fell to a running back 2 status because mainly of concussion problems. Everyone's worried about his concussion, the odds of getting a concussion, including me. I wasn't really touching Freeman. The only league I have him in is a dynasty league I've had him for years. So there's not much I can do there. Now you got the knee injuries, shall we say, in there. And what are you going to do? You're not going to find that much information until next week because the Falcons are off. You know, it's Thursday night game, so they're off. They probably won't return to practice till Monday. And that's what we'll find out more information about Devonta Freeman, exactly where he is. Does he practice? You know, with the Wednesday practice will be even more telling. My guess is he'll be fine, but I think you bring up a point. The knee injury is not going to heal in 5 days. You know, from Friday to Wednesday, it's not. It's something he's going to have to deal with. When they call it a sprain is a tear. It's just a degree of tear. It's a small degree. So he has tears in his knees. We all do. Anybody who's played sport, any kind of sports, doesn't have to be professional. You have tears in your knee. It's just a degree of tear. And am I going to be worried about him? Sure, but really not much more worried than I was with the concussions. I dealt with the concussion history alone. He's one hit away from being out a couple weeks, which is why I was staying away from him. Why so many of us advise, if you draft Freeman in round 3, you damn well better get Tevin Coleman in round 7. You want to guarantee yourself one running back, and I don't like doing that. I don't like I don't like using 2 spots for one player. That concerns me. So I didn't want to do that, but you really had to if you had Freeman. You almost had to go out and get Coleman there to cover yourself. So am I worried? Yeah, I'm worried. But really, I was worried anyway. This doesn't really change all that much, other than the fact that now it's something else that might take him out of the game.
Right. It's the double possibility of injury between the concussions and the knee issues that have both been recurring in his career. So if you're a Freeman owner, that is things to consider. Always here to hear from you guys as well, though. It's 844-843-6879, 844-84-FNTSY. Always at on Twitter as well, at FNTSY Radio. You can find me and George at Dan Strafford, at George Kurtz. Want to hear from you this morning as you're getting ready to set your lineups. Tomorrow is the day, as George said. It's wall-to-wall NFL, and then you do have the 2 Monday night games, which is always fun as well. Fun from a DFS perspective, too, if you want to get into 2-game contests, the primetime slates on the different websites that run DFS. We'll talk a little daily fantasy later on in our second hour here. We run till 10 o'clock on this show talking football. Then college football today comes up after us, getting ready for college as my alma mater will get trounced by Ohio State today. But I'll still watch. Hopefully it is... Hopefully they score this year, George. Hopefully Rutgers put some points on the board for the first time against Ohio State. But we'll talk about that at a different time. As we make our way through here, any other notes from this one? You talk about someone like Calvin Ridley. I know people thought he was a physical specimen and could do some big things for Atlanta. Slow preseason, catchless on 2 targets, played 45 snaps. You at least have to like the snap volume, right? That they had him out on the field. Hopefully as the year goes on, he gets some targets. Is that somebody that you're keeping an eye on from a waiver wire or from just a scout team perspective, seeing if he can catch on with this team and make a difference on that offense?
Well, yeah, you keep an eye on him, but it's telling. Once again, they threw the ball, 40 plus times in that game. They threw the ball a lot. Yet, only 2 targets. That's concerning. Ryan doesn't seem to be looking his way. Obviously, we all know Julio Jones is going to get the truckload of targets. We know that. That's not a shock. But then it was Sanu. Even Hooper got some. The running backs will get theirs. Ridley was pretty far down that target list. Now, that could be the game one game plan. Maybe that changes for game 2. Change on a game-by-game basis. But right now, what it does tell you is that Ridley's not close to starting for your fantasy team. And which is fine because, listen, if you were thinking about starting Ridley in week 1, then you probably had some issues as far as wide receivers go. It's really, you want him really building it for the bye weeks. So you got a couple of weeks there before you have to worry about that. But right now, like I said, if I'm a Ridley owner, I am not happy about this because right now he may be unusable for the bye weeks if they're not going to look his way.
Yep. And you mentioned Hooper there. I think it's 18 straight games without having 50 yards or more. Evan Silva over there on Twitter with that nugget after this game went. Let me just double check. Yeah, Austin Hooper has gone 18 straight games without topping 50 yards. So this is a guy that has been a bit of a, I don't want to say sleeper, but somebody people talked about as an athlete at the tight end spot, somebody with this offense that should do well. Again, tight end, you pick up a TD in 45 yards. It's not a bad week. Are you a believer in Austin Hooper long term, or is this somebody that you stayed away from this season when it came to drafts?
Nah, he wasn't in your top 12. Yeah, he's just not. He may be a solid tight end, but there are 12 tight ends better out there. He's a guy that, at best case scenario, then maybe I pick him up if I had Eifert or Reed and I need that second tight end because I'm worried about when they're going to get their injury.
Yes, sure,
I can see that. But as you saw during the draft season, there were so many guys like Hooper as far as number two tight ends that even if I had Eifert, and I think I drafted him in one league, Reed, I had once again having a dynasty league, I wasn't going to feel the need to draft a second tight end because there were six, seven, eight, nine guys in the same tier where I can just, okay, I'll pick up one of these guys when it matters. I don't need to waste the roster spot now. But if Eifert gets hurt, you know, if the bye week comes, then I'll worry about these guys. I mean, you're talking about guys like, I mean, Antonio Gates is back now.
Yes,
Charles Clay,
is.
Bray, Seferian Jenkins, Watson. I know McDonald's out this week, but he was in there. Ebron, Ricky Seals-Jones. These were all guys that were going to be out there.
Yep.
You know, on the waiver wire. So I didn't feel the need to go out and grab a guy like Hooper.
That makes sense. And it is a position that with three or four teams that are still seemingly terrible against tight ends, it's not the worst position to stream. Now, you want to prioritize quarterback when defenses when it comes to streaming, but that is a position that you should be able to do that. Plenty still to get to here on Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Trapper, George Kurtz, we're going to take you through game by game, breaking it all down for you over the next couple of hours, get you set for your Sunday in the NFL. Coming back with more right after this on Fantasy Sports Today on FNTSY Radio.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Here on Fantasy Sports Today, Dan Strapper, George Kurtz, and it's time to break down week number one, Sunday games. We're going to go through the 1 o'clock first. Always a good place to start at the beginning. Make our way through to break it all down. We'll talk mainly about season long here, talk DFS in the second hour. If you are so inclined, love to hear from you on what start-sit problems you're having as of right now. 10-team, 12-team, 16-team, whatever kind of league you're in, give us a shout, 844-843-6879, or send us a tweet over at FNTSY Radio, and we'll be sure to read it here on air and discuss it. So happy to do that for you guys. Want to make our way through. And we start with potentially the worst game of the weekend, Baltimore. It's Buffalo. And maybe I say that a little tongue-in-cheek here, but we do have name of my forthcoming rock band, the Nathan Peterman Experience, breaking out here as he is the starting quarterback for your Buffalo Bills, and not George's Buffalo Bills, just everyone's near and dear to your heart. This is a week where Baltimore's defense obviously will be heavily played across season long. I'm sure Baltimore also, George, will be pretty heavy in survivor pools. This is sort of that lock and load. I would put it probably like 60% of some survivor pools will have Baltimore, if not more. What's your vision on this game? Where do you see it breaking down? Does Buffalo have more of a chance than people are giving them? Or do you see this as a lock and load? Baltimore, what, -7.5 right now? Do you think that's a way to go when it comes to survivor pools and maybe some parlays out there in the world?
Yeah, I think you're going to have people going bananas on the Ravens all over the place. They're my survivor pick as well this week, so that's a team I've gone with. Mainly because I want, they're playing a weak team, I get to get rid of Baltimore. I really don't trust them,
yep.
But I think the Bills are a dumpster fire, a train wreck. So I'll definitely take the Ravens here. My bookie there, -8. I don't know if I would go quite that far, but I'm leaning towards it. It's under, the over-under is 40. Not so sure. I certainly wouldn't go the over there. I'm just worried this game being something like, you know, 28-3, 28-7, somewhere around there. I think Baltimore rolls in this game pretty easily. Flacco, you know, in a two-quarterback league, he's a definite start. If I had Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm thinking about starting him. I hate Garoppolo's matchup later that day. Well, same time that day, but against Minnesota, I would think about starting Flacco over him. I think Flacco's not going to he's not gonna have an issue. I think Flacco's going to have a solid season. You know, sort of his swan song with Baltimore. He's got a new receiver core, Crabtree, Brown, and Willie Snead. They can run the ball. We know the defense is good. Yeah, I think Baltimore's going to roll here.
Anybody that stands out, you like Flacco. Is there a wideout that you're keying in on as a potential play here in your season-long leagues, or do you think it's a sort of a what they call in DFS a naked Flacco, where you're just playing Joe Flacco and assuming he'll spread it out to everyone?
Well, he's not quite as naked as he used to be. Mention the receiving core. It's brand new, so you have to worry about chemistry. It's like Crabtree, Brown, and Snead. They don't have Hayden Hurst. He's out with the injury. He'll be out a couple more weeks with the injury, so tight end could be an issue there. I mean, listen, obviously Crabtree is the guy I want. Buffalo's defense is okay, but they're going to be on the field a lot. I mean, a lot. You know, my only worry here is if this game is getting out of hand in the second half, Baltimore could just shut down the pass game, run the ball, eat the clock, and let's get out of town here and get away with the win. Although it's in Baltimore, I guess they don't mind staying in town. Crabtree's the guy you want there.
All right, we have a caller on the line. It's Zach from Houston. You're on with Dan and George, Fantasy Sports Today. What's on your mind this morning?
Yeah, I just got a couple of lineup start and sit. I need two receiver. I got four of them to choose from. T.Y. Hilton, Cooper Kupp, Goodwin from and Crowder.
What do you got there, George? Picking two out of four.
All right, so he's got Hilton, Kupp, Goodwin, and Crowder. You know, I'm not starting Goodwin. Just mentioned, I hate this matchup on at 1 o'clock on Sunday with Minnesota, so Goodwin will be a sit for me. Don't mind the player, just hate the matchup. I mean, you're going to go with Hilton. You're never going to steal T.Y. Hilton, so I'm starting T.Y. Hilton. I may not trust Luck, but I have T.Y. Hilton in so many leagues that Luck better throw that ball into the secondary. So it comes down to Kupp or Crowder. Crowder's not going to see Patrick Peterson, so I'm not worried about that. Peterson's the outside corner. They're one of the best in the game, but he'll cover Josh Doxon more often than not. Crowder will be out of the slot, so I'm not all that worried about that. Cooper Kupp, nice matchup. That's the issue here. He has a great matchup against the Raiders. Raiders have no defense. I got to go with Cooper Kupp here. I think the Rams almost score at will.
Yep. I think the volume's going to be there for Kupp well above Crowder, too. I think you're just going to see a potential high reception game from him.
Can I ask one more question?
Absolutely.
Shoot.
Okay, I have another league. I have Christian Thompson or Allen Robinson for my flex.
Who was the first guy? I didn't hear the first guy.
Christian Thompson from Washington, the running back.
Okay, Chris Thompson or Allen Robinson. Okay.
Yeah.
Once again, I like Thompson. Thompson himself said earlier in camp he doesn't think he'll be 100% healthy until November. How true that is, anyone's guess here. Like the player. Listen, you got Allen Robinson. That Green Bay defense is average, but it's not great. I'm going to go with A-Rob here. I think this game could be high scoring. I know Chicago's got Khalil Mack, but I don't think he'll be fully integrated into that defense for another couple of weeks. Give me A-Rob here over Thompson.
I'm right there with you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call there, Zach.
Good. All right. Thank you, guys.
Zach from Houston, thanks for calling in. George, right there with you. I think the upside's there for Robinson. I don't know that it's there for Thompson with the backfield mess the way it is in Washington. We'll get to that game in a little bit as we continue to break down. But thanks to Zach for the call. 844-843-6879. Or find us on Twitter at FNTSY Radio for any questions you may have. Of course, we're here all day, meaning FNTSY Radio. College football coming up next, and then more shows throughout the day. And then George is on for like 36 hours tomorrow as he brings you all the action along with a cavalcade of other co-hosts here on FNTSY as they break down the games heading in and then talk throughout live coverage, commercial-free throughout the day. So you'll want to check that out for week number one for FNTSY. As we continue on here talking about game by game, seeing where we go next, it's the rain game. Pittsburgh and Cleveland, we have a contest here that last I saw could have 1 to 1.5 inches of rain and 20 to 25 mile an hour winds. And this is a game I think a lot of people targeted when the drafts were happening of, hey, Le'Veon Bell against the Browns, that's great. Other side, even, maybe we get some Tyrod Taylor in our lives because the Steelers' defense has dwindled in skill over the past couple of years. Maybe you get some Josh Gordon in your life. He's finally injury-free, according to the injury report, at least. His hamstring fully healed. But now we get this rain. And, George, off the top here, typically rain doesn't scare me. Typically wind on its own doesn't scare me unless we're talking, you know, 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts. But here we have both. Here we have a real mess of weather, last I checked. Is that playing into your plans here from a season-long perspective? I know it's always play your studs, right? You play Antonio Brown. You play the guys you drafted high. But does it concern you with someone like Roethlisberger? Does it concern you with someone like Tyrod Taylor, where this weather is just seeming like it's going to be a mess and this could be a tough game to watch?
Well, it shouldn't concern you with Tyrod Taylor. He's nowhere near top 12 quarterback, so you should be okay there. You should have a better starter. In a two-quarterback league, well, it is what it is. You're going to have to start both of them. Now, Ben is right on that, you know, coming into draft season, he was right around that 10 to 14 range. So he may be a starter for your team. He may not be a starter for your team. But even if he's not, maybe he's your quarterback two for, once again, Garoppolo. I'll bring that name up. Or another quarterback that you don't like his matchup this week, and you want to plug him in there. Well, now you have issues. Yeah, me, when it comes to wind, generally I'm okay with anything below 18 miles per hour. Whenever here it's above 18, I get concerned. Now, you throw the rain in here. This is serious rain, folks. This is not, oh, it's going to drizzle during the game. It's going to downpour. All right, it could be a nightmare tomorrow. Now, of course, we're 30 hours ahead of time. We don't know for sure of this, but they're calling for rain and 100% of it. So we're not talking, oh, there's a chance the storm might miss us. No, they're going to get wet, very wet. So, yeah, I think you have to be concerned. I'm not starting Ben unless I have to. Like I said, unless I have nobody else. There's nothing else I can do. Everybody's gone. The waiver wire is picked clean, or I don't want to drop whoever else is on my roster. And I understand that. And I may not do it either. But that's the only situation I'm starting Ben, because this is, you know, you put these two together, too much for me. You know, Brown still goes for me. Smith-Schuster probably still goes for me. But once again, if I could hedge it in another direction, it's going to be a sloppy field. It's going to be wet. It's going to be rainy. It's going to be windy. The game plan won't be to throw the ball that much. Both of these teams are going to try and run the ball. So, like I said, I'm going to be very careful here. I can't sit Antonio Brown. I never sit Antonio Brown. Never.
Right.
But he may be the only receiver on Pittsburgh I'm thinking of. Smith-Schuster may have to go, too, depending on how deep you are at wide receiver. That's going to be a team-by-team basis here. He's a fourth-round pick. You know, and I don't want to sit him. I have him in one league as well. And right now he's in my starting lineup until I see tomorrow morning exactly what the weather is. But right now it's 50-50 that I keep him in there. The Cleveland Landry's in your starting lineup because, yes, I understand the weather's bad, but he'll be close to the line of scrimmage. So I think he'll still get his catches. Maybe not get the 6-8, maybe more to 4-6, but I'll keep him in there. Josh Gordon, the bigger play guy, he needs to get the ball down the field. That could be tougher. And he's not going to play, he's not going to start. Not that that truly means anything. You know, he doesn't start, plays the next play, and every play after that, who cares? But he's a guy, once again, and I think he's in that Smith-Schuster territory, where if I have somebody else on my roster I like better, I'm probably going that direction. Not because of anything else with Josh Gordon other than the weather. I'm not worried about what happened in not showing up to that he was out for camp for a while, and the other issues. It's purely about the weather tomorrow. And that's where I really lie with that. Njoku still goes for me if he's just starting tight end. Once again, same thing with Landry. He'll be close to the line of scrimmage, should get his. I think the bigger question for Cleveland is running backs. I think Duke Johnson's value might go up here. You know, we know what Duke's role is, third down pass catching back. Well, he should be fine tomorrow then, because the passes should be, you know, short passes shouldn't really have much of an issue here. I'll start Hyde over Chubb as far as running backs are concerned, but there may be enough volume tomorrow for all three of them.
That is true, and that's an intriguing thought process for someone who maybe has one of those guys on their bench or is trying to fill a flex spot and see, or even, you know, if you managed to handcuff Cleveland, which I really hope you didn't, but playing to, you know, Hyde and Duke Johnson, the volume may be there because of the weather. James Conner, we still don't have any further word, again, last I read, on Le'Veon Bell. It would make sense for him to come to facilities today and sign the tender because of money lost if he does not. But if you believe that he is, in fact, as talented as he is, which I think we all do, he will most likely recoup that money in the offseason when he signs elsewhere, it would seem, at this point. So maybe his agent was being truthful and saying that he would be out several weeks here, or potentially out several weeks. But you do have James Conner on the other side who showed some flashes in the preseason. I saw some crazy fab numbers going for Conner. If you don't see Bell and he's still on the waiver wire for you going into week two, we're going to see crazy, crazy spending on him, aren't we, George?
Oh, he should be gone in all leagues anyway. But we knew that when, you know, when Fab went, we knew this was happening. So if he's still out there, I mean, it's funny because are you going to see crazy spending for Bell, for Connor? You know you're not getting him all season. Right. We all know that. The worst case scenario for Bell owners is week nine. That's when they'll come. They could exempt him. That's why I know everybody heard, if you don't know the NFL rules, is Bell has to play six games in order to get an accrued season, be a free agent next year. So that you do the math, that's before week 12. But the Pittsburgh Steelers could put him on the exempt list for 2 weeks. You know, right. Get him in shape, make sure he's ready, and I guess just to try and screw him over. So he won't show up anything less than after week nine. He'll want to make sure that that includes it, with the exempt weeks and the six games, he'll get his free agent season. So that's the worst case scenario. I don't know if Bell's going to have the intestinal fortitude to hold out that long. Well, actually, it's not a holdout. My apologies. He's unsigned. He's not a holdout. He's unsigned. Right. So I don't know if he's going to have the guts, the balls, whatever you want to say, to hold out that long, to not show up to camp. They listen to all the garbage from his teammates. I think he's going to show up eventually, and then it'll be an even bigger mess. How long? Let's say he shows up next Tuesday. Does that mean he's playing next week? Is he in shape? What's going on here? It'll be a bigger mess. So, Connor, I only have Bell in one league, and I was able to get Connor. And I didn't bid high for him. Sort of took a chance. I bid 10% of my fab, got him. No, granted, this was earlier in the week before we really were positive Bell wasn't going to show. And I figured owners would be like, well, you know what? I may only get Connor for a week or two. I don't want to bid that much fab. So I looked out for me. But I bid on Connor in every league that he was available. And that was the only league I got him in. So in most leagues, he did go for more than 10%. So, and if, like I said, if he's still available now, nobody for some reason bought him this week, and he's going to be available next week, and Bell's still not there on Wednesday or Thursday, whenever your fab runs, yeah, it's going to cost you more than 10% because now we're going to be like, oh, starting running back, now I got to take the chance. But yep. I imagine an overwhelming majority of leagues, Connor's already gone.
All right. As we look through, this is going to be, George made the point, I'm not a meteorologist, but I can read a radar pretty well at this point in my sports analyst career because it plays so much in baseball, but it's just a mess. So wake up Sunday morning. This is going to be a game time decision, I think, for a lot of these plays. If you have guys you're more comfortable with that you feel like are in better spots, this would be a week to figure out maybe sitting some of them. Obviously, Antonio Brown not being one of them, just simply because you don't sit your stars. It doesn't make sense to do that, even in adverse conditions here, weather-wise. Let's continue on. We go next to another interesting one, Cincinnati and Indianapolis. We look through and try to figure out exactly what Andrew Luck can be this year, whether or not that arm is, in fact, finally healed and ready to go. Seeing implied totals for the Colts at 25, Bengals at 22, or 25.25, 22.75, depending on where you're looking. With the Colts a -2.5 favorite. George, I've heard a lot of people talk about Andy Dalton this week because of this decimated and terrible secondary for the Colts. But this Bengals team doesn't really average a ton of passes. This is a team that does run the ball a lot. They have Joe Mixon. They have Gio Bernard. And they are going to try to run it probably more than they pass it. Do you like Dalton this week as a QB streamer if you're going that route? And how much confidence do you have in his game?
Well, everything I said about Flacco applies to Dalton as well. In two quarterback leagues, he's an easy start. And if you're that Garoppolo owner, I keep picking on Garoppolo, and I sort of feel bad because I believe in Garoppolo for the year. Just don't believe for him on Sunday. I think he's going to have a very rough game there against in Minnesota against that defense. Defense might be the best in the NFL. If not, it's certainly one of the best. So that's my problem there. I'll start Dalton over him again. You know, I just like the matchup here against Indianapolis. I mean, you said it. The defense is poor, to put it nicely. But you're right. I mean, Cincinnati could win by running the ball as well, although their offensive line may not be the greatest to do that. I mean, I think a big key in this game is can Indy score? Because if they can score also, well, and Dalton have to throw the ball more in the second half. Nobody really knows what's going on with Andrew Luck. We know he's healthy, but in preseason he didn't throw the ball into the secondary at all. Everything was short. Now, maybe they were protecting him. All right, I get it. You know, maybe they didn't want to showcase it. Maybe they want to surprise people tomorrow. Doesn't really make much sense, but maybe they do. But I'm as curious as everybody else to see what Luck is going to do here. And then, like I said, if you're a Cincinnati, you're banking on the Bengals tomorrow in fantasy, you want Luck to be healthy because you want points to be on that board and keep Dalton throwing the ball here. I have Dalton ahead of Flacco as far as starting over someone like Garoppolo tomorrow. And so I believe in Dalton. I think they'll throw the ball. I think they'll have a solid fantasy day. It's indoors. I don't have to worry about the rain in that game.
That is true. Seeing over under 48, so Vegas does believe this game will have a bit of offense to it. So we'll talk a bit more about this one after the break, and we'll continue on these 1 p.m. games. Got to get to more. There's so much to talk about here on Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Trapper, George Kurtz on FNTSY Radio.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Rolling along here on Fantasy Sports Today, Dan Trapper, George Kurtz. Want to hear from you, your start and sit questions, 844-843-6879. Hit us up on Twitter as well, at FNTSY Radio. Rolling through the 1 p.m. games, probably have to pick up the pace a little bit here, but we are talking Cincinnati and Indianapolis. We have A.J. Green, we have Eifert, we have Ross there in Cincinnati, we have the backfield. Any of those skill players jump off the page for you that you're looking forward to playing in this matchup?
Well, you're starting A.J. Green, of course. I know he slipped in drafts at the bottom of the second rounds later in leagues in August, but you still start him tomorrow without a doubt, and he should have a nice solid game, nice solid season for you. Giovanni Bernard, once again, PPR leagues really only a consideration here, not your standard leagues. I think he'll have a decent game tomorrow as well, but you probably can do better. I would assume in most fantasy leagues you can do better. Once again, which is not the bye weeks here, it's week one. Now, maybe you got crushed, Darius Geis got hurt, you know, McKinnon, maybe you have no choice, but I would think you could do better than Giovanni Bernard tomorrow. And same thing with Ross, Boyd, or anybody else. You didn't draft these guys to start for you, so you're going on matchup here. So it comes down to different leagues. Like I said, you might have Ross where he's a better start than I mentioned Goodwin, and I have no issues with that whatsoever. I think it's going to be a rough game for San Fran tomorrow. Maybe you have Schuster, and you're going to think about rolling with dice a little bit. You know, I don't know if I could quite go down that far on my list to set Ross for Schuster, but I could think about it. It's one of those situations where it might be a gut feel tomorrow that, you know, it's monsooning there. The weather is worse than we thought. The wind is whipping around really good. I'm not starting Schuster in any circumstances. That could come down to what we feel tomorrow. Once again, this is why you pay attention. You watch whatever pregame show you like and find out exactly how good or bad the weather is, and you make your decisions then. But, yeah, I could see Ross possibly coming in over Schuster, but like I said, that's probably about the edge of how far down my list I'll go.
What about the Indianapolis backfield situation? I know Marlon Mack, I think, is listed as questionable at this point. He's been out with a hamstring injury for most of the summer, most of the preseason camp. Jordan Wilkins is the rookie running back who looks like he would get the start if Mack can't go. One, do you have a guess or a gut intuition on whether or not Mack does play? And if he does not play, do you have any interest in running a high-volume Wilkins out there against the Bengals defense?
No. I'd like to stay away from the Indianapolis running game if I can, even if Mack does play, which you said it's questionable, hamstring. Does he make it through the game?
Right.
Anyone? No. I don't know if he does. I don't know how many touches they're going to give him. You know, I think for Indianapolis, it's probably smart to give him another week off and play him next week. That would make it easier for fantasy owners. But even if that's true, I don't know if I want to use Wilkins either. You know, Hines is there. It's a mess. It's really a mess at running back right now for Indianapolis. It was always going to be a mess. They don't have a number one. They have a whole bunch of number twos, number threes. And I think it's going to be game flow. How each one's playing, how the game's going. Mack is still a guy I'd want to own for the season. But I don't think he's anything more than a flex play in most weeks, and he's not a flex play tomorrow.
All right. Very well. Let's move on to our next contest as we roll through the 1 p.m. games. It's Tennessee. It's Miami. I'll be honest, outside of someone like Delanie Walker, there's not a ton that entices me here. I know a lot of people are on Kenny Stills this year from a volume perspective. With Landry out of town, Devontae Parker has the broken finger. He's out at least a couple of weeks. Anybody pop off the page to you here as guys that should have been drafted and should be started this week outside of Delanie Walker?
I mean, Corey Davis. People are big on him. And the Dolphins defense, once again, could be a train wreck. So I could see the people going that direction. My only problem with Davis is going to be this. How much is Tennessee going to throw the ball?
Yep.
We know they can run. They can run the ball with Henry and Lewis and Mariota, for that matter, himself, who looks fast, very fast in camp. They're not gonna, I don't know if the volume is going to be there to put the ball in the air, especially on the road. They have a very good defense. They can win the game in their belief with defense in the run game, and I sort of agree with them here. So I don't know if the volume is going to be there. So I'm probably still starting Davis tomorrow. Once again, we still have three wide receivers. You got a flex. I think he's valuable in that sense. But he's not someone I'm dying to start. Delonte Walker, he had some injury issues earlier this week, but he's going to start, so he's definitely in your lineup. Rashard Matthews returned late to camp. He's more of a wait and see for me. Let's watch him for a week before we plug him into our lineups. And like I said, I just don't see Tennessee throwing the ball up and down the field here tomorrow, or I don't think they'll have to. So as for Miami, you mentioned it. Parker's out, which I don't really care about anyway. Stills is more of a best ball play. You know, does he catch that one big pass, and then he has value. Amendola, you need the volume to be there. I don't trust anybody in the Miami passing game. I don't trust the running game all that much either. You know, I think Drake is the guy you want there, but Gore's going to play some. Kalen Ballage could be the short yardage guy, a touchdown guy at the 1-2-yard line. I think it's sort of a mess there, but Drake is the guy you want. He'll be the volume guy.
Yep, this is a game that, honestly, from high level and forgetting season-long, I passed over a few different times in just analyzing this slate of games from a DFS perspective. And we'll talk a little DFS in a little while. We do have a caller on the line. We'll get to that momentarily. Before that, we do have next game up, which is one we've talked about a bit here. San Francisco and Minnesota, you've talked about Garoppolo's matchup against this Vikings defense. I'm right on board with you. I actually love Vikings defense this week. I think that this is a really tough matchup for Jimmy G and will be a tough matchup for their running backs as well, whomever gets the volume here. On the other side, I'm a big fan of Case Keenum. I'm a big fan of what he can do here with Diggs and Kirk Cousins. Of Kirk Cousins here on this season, I think he could end up being one of, if not the best quarterback values in the entire draft, even as his ADP creeped up. This is a really big spot for him, I think. Diggs, I know Thielen's a little banged up. You have Rudolph. You actually said it on the intro to the show, played back. There's a lot of talent here. Is Cousins a must here for you, or top 12 easy start here, or do you find he's a potential stream away from being somebody else in your starting lineup?
No, he starts for me. He was drafted about quarterback number 8 overall in drafts this year, so he starts this week. It's a good matchup. It's at home. He did get up to a slow start, you know, in preseason, and that's to be expected. New wide receivers, a lot of chemistry has to work on there. I'm sure he's feeling some of that pressure from the big contract to fulfill it, but he's in a good spot. It's at home. He knows his defense is going to keep him in games. Where even he gets off to, you know, the first couple of series are a problem, he'll be all right. So I'm starting Kirk Cousins here. I am. And I'm starting all my normal Vikings. I think the only thing you're worried about in Minnesota is Dalvin Cook right now. Could they split the work with Latavius Murray? Zimmer sort of hinted at that earlier in training camp, that they want to take it easy with Cook until they're positive. Cook's still the guy you want over Murray, but Murray could have some value as well if you're in a deeper league or you just screwed at running back. You know, I've known some people who had McKinnon and Le'Veon Bell and weren't able to get Connor. So, yeah, they're desperate. Maybe Murray's got someone you got to go with there. I understand that. I think the big question on San Francisco is there anybody you want to start? I mean, really, anybody.
I don't think so either. Yeah.
I agree. George Kittle. I'd probably start George Kittle, depending on you're that far down at tight end anyway. I'll stick with George Kittle. But other than that, I don't want to start Garoppolo this week. I said I'll go with Dalton, go with Flacco. Running back, Alfred Morris is the guy you want long-term there, but he's admitted he doesn't know the whole playbook yet, and Breida is still ahead of him on the depth chart. But I don't want to start either one this week. Breida, I could see being in a flex in a PPR league. He might catch a few passes there. And the passing game, I think, is going to be shut down. I think they're going to have some problems. And I don't think Minnesota is going to put up enough points on the board to blow them out where they're just going to run the ball in the second half and San Fran's going to throw the ball left and right. I think this game will be – I think it'll be an easy win for Minnesota, but not so easy where they're just running out the clock in the second half. I think they'll have the game in control, 24-13, somewhere around there.
Yep, so 46 over-under. I'm seeing 26.25 Vikings implied total, 19.75 for San Francisco. Double-check a couple other sources on that. Plus -6.5 for Minnesota on my bookie with 45.5 as the over-under. So right in line with the score total you were talking about there. And I love Stephon Diggs this week, honestly, and I think that he will be across many of my DFS lineups. But I do have some concern that this is a game where the Vikings get up 15, 18, 21 to nothing or to three, take their foot off the pedal, let Latavius Murray just fall into the line for the third and fourth quarter and shut down the Niners offense. But we'll see how that turns out. Do want to get to the phones and get to Kenny from Philly. Kenny, you're on with George and Dan. How are you doing this Saturday morning?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, Georgie.
What's going on, Ken? How you doing?
I can't complain. Let me touch on Matt Ryan. I want to touch on him real quick. You know, I'm an avid Saints fan, and unfortunately, I know a lot about the Falcons because they're arch rivals. So, but Matt Ryan is who we thought he is. I mean, let's not forget, before he got that big contract, they didn't know whether this guy was the man. He kind of crunches up there in that red zone, and the Falcons have historically been a team that, in the red zone, if they can't get you with the zone blocking scheme or running the ball and over the middle to the tight end. Tony Gonzalez was a monster when he was there. So that was their regiment for getting in the end zone. So Julio Jones, he's a non-factor now there. I don't expect that to change.
You know, I mentioned a few years ago about Matt Ryan. If he played on a team like the Cowboys, he'd be crucified. He'd be absolutely crucified because of what Kenny's bringing up here. He comes up small in big opportunities, and he does it over and over again. I mentioned earlier on the show, that was not all Sarkisian's fault there. He missed a wide-open Mohamed Sanu. He missed on that first drive. Devonta Freeman's open, and he wasn't a great pass. He couldn't get the ball to him. So Ryan's got some issues here, and that arm strength looked off on Thursday night.
Right. I actually put some over-unders in this week. My philosophy was, look at the division and see how you think the division is going to play out. And I got the sleeper at 17-1. I think the Bengals may take the AFC North, depending on if with this shooting. I mean, the Pittsburgh locker room is going to lead to as far as the Le'Veon Bell thing. But if they come back to the pack just a little bit, you know, the Bengals have historically been pretty good in the regular season. They'll get a little 10-6 and, you know, fit the bit in the playoffs. So I did get that, and I got the Chargers over and the Raiders under, but I want to get to AJ Green. His road splits, he plays remarkably better during his career on the road. So I actually like him today, and I mean tomorrow. I'm in DFS, and you could pair him on the other side with like a T.Y. Hilton. And I'm staying away from that Cleveland game, and probably the Baltimore game as well. What do you guys think about Shady McCoy? You guys think he? I know you guys didn't get to it yet. I'm so early.
It's funny, we didn't talk much about McCoy or Alex Collins on the other side of that contest, but McCoy's going to have to carry the weight. I just think it's going to be a high-volume game. Baltimore's defense is really good, but the volume's going to be there. I think across the season, too, McCoy may have drifted down draft boards, obviously the off-field stuff, but just thinking of this Buffalo team as a whole being terrible, he's 30 years old, I get all the negatives, but this just seems like a spot, Kenny, where he's going to have to do it, or be injured doing it, right? Like, he's going to be carried off the field before he's down.
And it's going to be bad weather, so him and the Baltimore running back, of course, are viable. I also like Emmanuel Sanders. He only 5,000 on DraftKings, playing against that treachery.
Kenny, you're rattling off my team here, man.
I'm sorry.
I need you to stop, man. I need you, you're just going down the line of my cash team. I'm like, come on, man. No, I AJ Green, I'm on. I've about 7 tournament lines on DK, 5 on FanDuel. AJ Green is in the majority of them right now. And I have Manny Sanders as well.
I got a defense that no one's going to be on, but they're playing Monday night, unfortunately. But the playing against that rookie quarterback, the Jets rookie quarterback, Detroit Lions, they're playing at home. I think they'll be riled up. And, you know, I'm not sure if Robbie Anderson's going to get up for this game, but we'll see. But I think they're going to be viable with DFS. But they're on the later slate. They're not on the main slate. So all right, that's all I got. I know you guys got the show to do, so I'll be listening. Appreciate it.
Kenny, you're part of the show. You don't have to go. But, Kenny, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Call back next week.
One more.
Yeah, sure.
I got one more. If you think that the Saints-Bucks game is going to be may get out of hand or whatever. I don't like this. I don't necessarily like this guy, but Gillespie might shuffle in the end zone at the end of the game or whatever. So
yeah, and I think that's it's almost easy enough analysis that you want to overlook it. But he's only there for a week. He's somebody that we know can fall into the end zone. We saw it week one last year, and everyone went nuts saying, "Oh, look, we were right. Gillespie's going to be the man there in New England." And here he is in New Orleans in a prime spot with Ingram out. I don't know he's going to see volume, but I think you're right. If this is a game that shoots out, which I think it will, at least from a New Orleans perspective, Gillespie is somebody that could be a pretty viable punt play at running back also, in DFS.
I have no idea why we cut Buster Scott. I have no idea, but we did, and we picked this guy up, so whatever. We're going to see what happens. As long as we win the game, I'm fine either way. I'm fine either way. So, all right, guys. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Kenny. It's funny. Fans of any NFL team, George, can sound as disenfranchised as Jets fans when things don't go their way, but we have much more practice in it. I don't disagree with Kenny there about Sam Darnold on Monday night potentially struggling, but lots from Kenny there. We appreciate the call, as always, and we'll talk a bit more DFS in the second hour. If we look quickly here at Houston and New England, know we're coming up to the top of the hour here. Tom Brady, obviously, in play, no matter what, high volumes here. Quick take here from you, George. Are you on Burkhead? Are you on Sonny Michel, I guess, is questionable at present, may not make it out there. And then you have James White, who is in the backfield. Do you have a running back take here for New England, or are you sticking with just Tom Brady and assuming volume will be across the board?
I generally don't like to play the New England guessing game. You know, we know what Belichick's going to do. We just don't know which one he's going to do it with. I think the only raw running back I would truly trust would probably be James White. He'll be the PPR guy. He'll be catching the ball. So I know what his role is. Yeah, so I'll take that. But my second choice is Burkhead. I do think he's the guy. But, you know, you never know. And he's got the knee problem as well. What if that flares up during the game? So I'm always going to be concerned about that. Breaking news that Brady's a start there. So good for you, Dan.
Yeah, hey, this is what I do here, George. This is why I'm here.
I think you're starting Hogan. You start, isn't he? On both sides, you're really starting anybody. If you have any Houston or New England player, you do want to start him. You know, I expect this game to be a shootout. A lot of points. It was last year, 80 plus points last year. I don't know if I can guarantee you that much, but I think they'll put points on the board here. Will Fuller, a guy I wrote up yesterday as far as a start, and then with the injury, I had to take him off that list. If he's healthy, he's the one that's going to be. If he starts, he won't be completely healthy. He's the guy that's going to give me agita. Because I'm going to want to put him in my lineup, but I'm going to be very afraid that he only plays a quarter, that he's not at full strength, or even a decoy. But, man, somebody else other than DeAndre Hopkins has to catch the ball for Houston.
Yep. Anytime you can work the word agita into fantasy analysis, I'm a big fan. 50.5 over-under over there on my bookie. George, are you taking the over here? Do you think this shoots out far enough that 50.5 is one you're comfortable taking the over on?
Comfortable? I think there's a wrong word.
Sure,
but yes, if
fair.
I'm not personally, but if I had to, you said I had no choice. You give me your money to bet, I'd take the over.
We'll work that out in the break. Over under 50.5 is one of the highest totals on the weekend. This should be a fun game to watch. We're going to continue the 1 p.m.s, get through the 4 p.m.s, and then look at some DFS in the next hour. 1 hour in the books here on Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Schaffer, George Kurtz, breaking down the NFL for you as week one is upon us. We'll be back with more after this on Fantasy Sports Today on FNTSY Sports Radio Network.